Kaya Biz.
Earlier on Kaya Drive, Cesar was talking about parents, right? And the role of, I guess, being parents and the experiences of many who might be parents. I'm not one myself, but I am a deputy parent. So that means I have the luxury of stepping in and out of the lives of my nieces and nephews when I like to. But for many of us, we're well aware that when it comes to bundles of joy and children, the fundamental investment that we actually make is not only in their health and their livelihoods, but also their education. Just last week, we saw the reopening of schools across South Africa, and that in itself, we know, comes at quite a significant financial investment. But how do you need to plan and deal with unexpected increases in the cost of education and maybe even the ancillary items that also come along with that? To help us and guide us on this particular conversation, we join on the line by Shafika Anthony, marketing manager, at justmoney.co.za. Shafika, always great to touch base with you. Welcome back to Kaya Biz this evening.
Thank you so much for having me, Google. It's great to be here once again.
Fantastic. Shafika, I think, as mentioned, I'm not necessarily a parent, but we're well aware of the cost that comes about with parenting, right? From the pampers when the child is still young to investing in one's education going forward. But help us understand what you've identified as Just Money in terms of the major costs and cost inputs when it comes to education in South Africa.
100% Google. So look, over and above fees, right, you're looking at things like uniforms. Now, I'm sure you know, you don't have to have a kid to know how expensive things like blazers are. Mm. And growth spurts in children are crazy. I know in December, my daughter's school uniform fit her perfectly. And last week when I fit it on, I realized I needed to buy a new uniform. So that is, it is crazy. Honestly, it is absolutely crazy. And then over and above things like uniforms and the expected textbooks, which are also very pricey, by the way, things like dictionaries. We've also in the last 2 years moved to a hybrid learning situation. So many learners have had to get laptops, equipment, headsets, stable Wi-Fi. These are things that we did not perhaps plan for before the pandemic hit. So there's so many unexpected costs. I know of so many parents, and this is something a lot of us have not thought about, is that with the kids missing out on so many lessons during the pandemic because they went to every alternate week, for example, we've had to get extra tuition lessons for some of our children because they struggle to catch up. Others have been affected mentally, and so psychologists and counselors have had to be approached. So there's so many other things that have come about in the last 2 years, over and above the usual fees, uniform textbooks, that have really caused us to look at our expenses when it comes to school and really evaluate, could we be cutting costs? Could we be making smarter financial decisions when it comes to the education of our children?
Ooh, and it's a tough one, right? Because as you say, according to stats, they say recently, education fees have increased by an average of 4.1% in the year 2021. So coupled with these additional costs, the cost of schooling and education in itself has already increased, which I can imagine has just added so much more pressure on parents.
100%. So you're 100% right. So compared to 6.4 in 2020, it is slightly down, but it still remains incredibly expensive for many of us. And especially with parents who've just enrolled their kids for the first time, it is so expensive. And now, they've got to ensure there's proper planning, budgets have been allocated. Being really transparent with oneself is always hard, Google. I think that is hard because you can budget and talk money all you want. If you're not facing the facts and you're not being honest with yourself and that of your household, you're going to run into trouble. So let's start there. Let's start with budgeting. Let's start having honest conversations and involving the kids. Because at the end of the day, they've got to understand the value of money and what does that mean for them. So it's so important to start having those conversations very early.
And we need to have those conversations early, even though they're uncomfortable, right? Because the last thing you want is your child's results to be held back because you couldn't cover fees. So where should we start? You mentioned budget, and we know budget is the B word that we often try to avoid, and it's a big word. But are there options that we should be considering there, and what are they specifically?
Yes. So definitely, I think budget is a good place to start, right? It doesn't have to be anything extensive or elaborate. I'm talking good old pen and paper and 30 minutes of your time. Looking realistically at what is coming in, what are your regular monthly bills, and then what are your variable expenses? So things that change from month to month. So for example, it could be groceries. It could be fuel because we're not maybe perhaps used to utilizing our vehicle as much as we did. Looking at our bank statements is a very helpful place to start because very soon you will see where your money goes, where you have money left over, and where you can cut back. Just a few other tips, Google. Buying secondhand things like books and uniforms. You know, if your children perhaps excel in sport, looking at bursaries. Yeah, academically as well, scholarships. And then obviously around education, another big one is education policies. So unit trust, tax-free savings, you know, approaching, like I said, scholarships, bursaries. These are things we need to start researching. And my tip over there is because there's such a wealth of information, I would highly recommend seeking, if you need to, if you can, seeking the help of a financial advisor, but also making sure you do your research, comparing quotes, thinking about what is my short-term goal and what is my long-term goal. Am I saving for high school, for example, or am I saving for university? So let's see, is it an 18-year, is it a 5-year? And starting with the basic questions to yourself, it's really going to help kickstart that conversation and hopefully get you well on your way to making the better financial decisions for your children's education.
As just money, do you have any data and insights around the kind of investment tools or products that South Africans are using to save for their children's education?
100%. So we have quite a bit of it online. We went through an entire article where we've actually put down every single option out there. I will recommend that you listeners go to www.justmoney.co.za. There's a wealth of information out there. But again, starting small in terms of education yourself, like making sure you are, you know, prepared, you have done your research, you are, you know, exactly what you want in terms of what your immediate and long-term goals are. I think that is always a very good place to start. And then looking at how you can cut costs within your budget. But I'm just going to mention four things. So education savings policy. So these are typically obviously provided by a host of financial service providers in the country, sure, from banks to insurers. And then unit trust. These are very simple and cost-effective access to the share market through a variety of equities. So these typically are available through most financial institutions. And when saving for education, you want to ensure that the asset class you're looking at has the best chance of performing well over a long period. So that's unit trust. Another one is tax-free savings accounts. So these are very easily accessible. This is an option that gives you access to your money quite quickly, offered by most banks, and it allows you to open the investment in the name of your child. So it guarantees that your capital investment and it is a very effective way to save for your goals because any interest, dividends, or capital gains will be tax-free. And it also gives you the flexibility as you don't have to commit to making future contributions. And then Fundi SA. So Fundi SA Fund is an educational savings account that rewards investors with a unique bonus feature. And every year your savings are enhanced by an additional bonus, mm-hmm, made possible through a joint venture between government and the unit trust industry. And this is intended to help learners from low-income households. So I think that you know, starting there, research gives you a very good foundation. And ensuring you're speaking to trusted people, very, very important.
Yeah. I think just for the benefit of our listeners, the name of the last fund that you had mentioned, where
it says Fundi SA Fund. So FUNDISA Fund.
Got you. SA Fund. And that's quite important because, as you mentioned, there's a variety of tools to actually use to make sure
correct,
that we can adequately channel into growing our investments and really channeling it through to education, coupled with 100%. Another wide variety of features that are present. If you've just joined us, it's 7:15 and we are in conversation with Shafika Anthony. She's the marketing manager at justmoney.co.za. helping us and providing us with some insight as to how best we can continue to plan for unexpected educational costs in the year 2022. Going back to basics of budgeting, understanding the environment that we're in, that truthfully speaking, the cost of everything really appears to go up a lot higher day by day. But as long as you're budgeting correctly, perhaps reviewing the kind of items that you're able to buy, even secondhand items for uniforms or the basics of sports equipment that might be required, scholarships to help your child attain and achieve a quality education through them being high achievers in sport or academia. And of course, making sure that we use the right products and tools to actually save for our children's education, especially given that this is a journey of more than 18 years for the average South African. And Shafika, you mentioned something else which is quite important. Not only the saving and of course, making sure that we use the right products and tools, as there's a vast array of savings and investment products that we can use in South Africa. But we're also well aware that life happens. And when life happens, death is a reality, disability and illness is another reality. And when a parent or breadwinner is incapacitated and no longer able to actually provide for their family, this too might also have a ripple effect on a child's education. And maybe that's also a very uncomfortable conversation that we often don't have directly to evaluate what options we can explore. But what insights can you share with us there as to how South Africans can better manage that particular risk factor there?
Yes. So Google, again, money in general, I think is quite a sensitive topic. It could be controversial. It could be something, you know, once a loved one passed on, even when you're talking debt, Google, I know that's another word that, first of all, we need to break the stigma around it. But second of all, we need to become comfortable, more so comfortable talking about it. And I think something over here is definitely, I know I've spoken to so many people. I've heard so many, I mean, so many emails with regards to the reduction of debt.
Yes.
Because even before, you know, and obviously we start, like I said, we start with budget. But before we even begin to look at opportunities for our money, I think one of the golden nuggets here is looking at that debt. I don't think we as South Africans realize, first of all, we don't read properly. I think we're all at fault when it comes to that. But I think research is so important. And before digging your head in the sand, and I think that's kind of an instinct or something we tend to do quite often when we don't want to deal with something. And it seems like the right thing to do in the moment, right? We're filled with grief. We're filled with shock. There's all these things happening. We need an emergency fund. We have nothing to draw on. But one thing I always say, Google, and I'm going to keep on saying it, is that in order to come outside during a time that we were not prepared for, and I'm talking COVID here, is we sometimes need to act and behave in a way we have not behaved before in order to come out on the other side.
That's uncomfortable, Shafika.
It is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable because it is unknown, we are scared, and it is risky. But at the end of the day, what are we all trying to do? We're trying to survive. And so if that means, I've had someone recently ask me the question, is now the right time to tap into one's savings? And my response was, when is the right time? If you are needing to fill a gap for an emergency, if you're needing to settle school fees, those things are important. And so if you've always been someone who's been able to leave the savings untouched for many years, you know, if now comes the time where you've got to draw on that, then that's what we need to do. We need to get out on the other side here. And so a way is definitely around reducing your debt. I mean, I don't know anyone who can say comfortably that they can get through an entire lifetime without debt. But the one thing I must mention here, Google, is that there is a difference between bad and good debt, right?
Yes.
Good debt, very simply, is something that is going to grow over time. It's going to build your financial health. Whereas bad debt is something that's not necessarily aligned to an asset or something that's going to generate wealth for yourself in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like our home loans, building renovations, a vehicle that might be, you know, used to generate an income, in equipment that's going to help us generate an income, those are all good kinds of debt. And in the pandemic, I know so many people who have either had cut of their salary or have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
We've had to become creative as a nation. I know people who have now used their hobbies and started monetizing that. It's so important. We need to start thinking outside of the box. You know, looking at our dreams, looking at what we have at our disposal and asking ourselves, is there an opportunity here let me not bury my head in the sand, but rather let me look at the possibilities. And I know it's really hard to be optimistic in a time like this, but we've got to do it for ourselves and that of our future and that of our children and their future. So it's so important to have that positive mindset, even though the economic climate and the situations of many of South Africans are really looking, it's sort of a doom and gloom. But it's not all doom and gloom. We cannot control the economic climate, but we can take control of our own finances. And I think that's really important.
Oh, for sure. And that's exactly what we do need to be mindful of, is staying informed, doing our research, understanding our own behaviors as well, because that is a huge drive and a huge influence in terms of our financial success and the kind of outcomes that we can really attain. Shafika, you've mentioned so much, and I can imagine for those who might have caught the tail end of this conversation, when it comes to, you know, adequately preparing for unforeseen costs, expenses, anything to do with money really related to your child's education. If you could give us a quick fire review of things that we need to be mindful of, and I guess the key takeaway points that we need to remember, implement, and even share with other parents to make sure that everybody is able to walk this journey quite comfortably. What would those quick fire points actually be?
100%, Google. So look, I think number one is definitely that we as South Africans are dealing with many money challenges, and it's highly unlikely that conditions are going to ease in the short to medium term. It's more important now than ever to do three things: budget, save, and avoid debt. And over and above that, to really upskill, empower, and really take on good quality, do some good research before making any kind of financial commitment, and really look and be honest with yourself around whether or not you have areas in which to cut, and simply look at bargains. You know, be a thrifty shopper. Yeah. You know, try and find ways that you can cut corners when it comes to things you can. Textbooks, uniforms. My daughter's just handed down her creche uniform to her brother, who's just started 8 years after her. So there's many things that we can do, but I think definitely reducing one's debt, saving, research, and chatting, speaking to and reading credible sites is so important, Google. And I think I'll leave you with that this evening.
Fantastic. Shafika, thank you so much. You've always been such an amazing help when it comes to making sure that there's clarity and just access to information and knowledge that we so often need. And for some, this goes back to the basics that we just need a refresher on. And for others, this is really the introduction of a whole new world and way of thinking when it comes to our education, understanding the access that you have to various investment tools, understanding the time period that you're also going to be saving or investing for, and the options that might be available to make sure that when it comes to investing in education, we do know that it comes at a cost, but it doesn't have to be one that is deadly and, of course, leaves you bankrupt, just to make sure that you can offer your children some sense of value and an upper hand when it comes to exploring their skills and developing them as individuals in the future. Shafika, always a pleasure being with you, and thank you so much for your time again. That's our guest tonight, Shafika Anthony, Marketing Manager of justmoney.co.za. And you can also visit their website for a wide variety of tools, surveys, even assisting you with some content and information that's available there to understand the basics of your money, quite literally.
Kaya Biz with Google Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.